The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Life is full of transitions, some happy and some sad. Ending a marriage is one of the most stressful experiences a person can go through. Hi, I'm attorney Kim Shishinsky, founder of Long Island's alternative divorce resolution firm. At ADR, we believe that divorce is a restructuring of your family. It's not a destruction of it. It should be handled outside of the courtroom through the processes of collaborative divorce, mediation, or negotiated settlements. Not all roads must lead to litigation. Allow me to guide you through the processes of collaborative divorce, mediation, or negotiated settlement. Call 516-308-2922. That's 516-308-2922 or visit adrlawny.com. For over 30 years, I have helped people regain their independence while maintaining their dignity. Call 516-308-2922, 516-308-2922 or visit adrlawny.com. Nowhere is it written that you cannot live happily even after divorce. Hello, everyone. Happy Thursday. I'm divorce attorney Kim Shishinsky, and this is Happily Even After. You can listen to me live every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. on 103.9 FM or online at linewsradio.com. Thanks all for tuning in tonight. If you've listened to my show before, you know that it is my mission to keep divorcing couples out of the legal system and to help them restructure their families with dignity and divorce, dignity and privacy. Family is the cornerstone of every society. I believe that our society handles the issue of divorce in a polarizing manner that demonizes normal emotions and results in the unnecessary financial and emotional destruction of the family unit. I'm passionate in my belief that if divorce is done right, it is entirely possible for everyone to move on and live happily, even after. My practice is located in Garden City and is completely focused on helping families avoid the pitfalls of divorce litigation by offering healthy and more positive process options. You can visit me at adrlawny.com, and you can call me at 516-308-2922. There are so many professions that intersect the issue of divorce. Financial advisors, therapists, coaches, accountants, the tentacles are vast. I usually bring on those professionals as guests because I want to use this platform, the platform of this show, to educate people. Of course, I want to educate people about the process of divorce, but I also want to share information about all the issues that arise as a result of going through a divorce. So over the past few months, I've brought on many experts who have offered so much valuable information. But it occurred to me that the most valuable people to hear from may be people who have personally gone through the system. So today, my guest is Tom Russo, who is here to share his personal story and the lessons that he's learned along the way. But before I introduce Tom, I want to spend a few minutes telling you about the options that you have if you're considering a divorce and you want to handle it outside of the courtroom and hang on to your sanity and your hard-earned savings. I've been practicing matrimonial and family law for over 30 years. I am completely convinced that the majority of divorcing couples can minimize the emotional distress and financial cost of divorce by choosing to handle the matter outside of the court system. The large majority of litigated cases end up settling after months or even years in the system. And they usually end up settling basically along the same terms that were proposed at the very beginning of the case. Why does this happen? Why do people go through this long, excruciating, and expensive process just to end up where they started? Well, there are many reasons, but I think a major reason people get caught up in the process is because when you go through litigation, your heightened emotions hijack your ability to make reasoned decisions about issues that have long-term consequences. The legal system, which has absolutely no capacity to address your emotional needs, only exasperates the problem. The arbitrary procedures required by the system pours gasoline on the fire of your emotions and almost always results in a longer and more expensive divorce process. Very often, people involved in a litigated case are unwittingly trying to use the system to get their emotional needs met. The system is transactional by design. It doesn't have the ability to address emotional grievances or allow for the processing of grief. The system's not designed to give consideration to your feelings or to support the normal process of grieving that you're working through. The emotional and financial cost of trying to use the system to meet your emotional needs can be devastating. Except in very extreme circumstances, marital fault is completely irrelevant to the outcome. You're never going to get the emotional vindication or the revenge that you think you deserve from the system. What you will get is psychological trauma and financial depletion that can take years to recover from, if ever. Fear, anger, grief, they're all normal feelings that every human being going through a divorce experiences. The system exasperates normal emotions and skews or sometimes completely prevents the normal progression of the grieving process. Litigation is war, and in war, you will inevitably be attacked on the battlefield. When you feel attacked, it becomes impossible to compartmentalize all those intense emotions and push them to the side so that you can make sound decisions for your future that's based in reason and not emotional reactivity. The legal system does one thing, one way. It will not bend to your emotional will, and you can't tailor it to meet your individual needs. The best thing to do is to avoid it altogether. Just opt out. Keep control of your life where it belongs, with you. So much of your life is going to change, but there are so many ways you can maintain control over the decisions to be made and avoid financial ruin. There's three ways that you can keep your divorce out of the courthouse and end up with an agreement that can be tailored to your individual needs. First process is mediation. It's the fastest and the least expensive process. As a mediator, I don't represent either person. I'm a neutral facilitator. I don't advocate for either party's interests, but rather I help them identify the issues that they need to address and to understand the law as it pertains to them. With my guidance, couples come up with a plan that works for their family. No one is better qualified to make decisions about how your finances should be handled and your children should be raised than you are. Depending on how complex the issues are, the average mediation takes about 3 to 6 months and costs between $5,000 and $15,000. I guarantee you that litigation is much more than that. It's a great process for non-complex matters where there's a balance of power between the parties and they are either on the same page or they're able to get there through productive communication. It is not a good option in cases where there's an imbalance of power, active addiction, untreated mental illness, or domestic violence. So the second way to get a divorce out of the court system is called collaborative divorce. This is a team approach where both people do have their own attorneys to advocate for them, but they do so in a cooperative, non-adversarial way. This process uses interest-based negotiation as opposed to position-based negotiation. So what's the difference between those? Well, position-based negotiation is what's used in litigation, and the goal is to have your client's interests prevail, with no consideration being given to the interests of their spouse. It's a win-lose dynamic. The collaborative process uses interest-based negotiation, where the goal is to satisfy the interests of every member of the family to the greatest extent possible. The team also has a mental health professional who helps the couple come up with a co-parenting plan that works for their family and takes into consideration the needs and the developmental stages of their children. The final member of the team is a certified divorce financial analyst. This person helps the team come up with a new financial plan for the family. The team works together using out-of-the-box thinking and creativity to come up with a new financial plan and a co-parenting plan that meets the needs of the entire family. The solutions are highly tailored to your individual needs. This is something a court can never do. When a judge decides your case, you get a very cookie-cutter result that, generally speaking, no one's ever happy with. Collaborative is a great process for more complex cases where both parties are committed to complete transparency and cooperation in an effort to ensure the best outcome for every member of the family. The process itself is very streamlined, time efficient, and cost effective. The average collaborative case is resolved in a third of the time and cost of litigation. There are practitioners who disagree, but in my opinion, like with mediation, collaborative divorce is not an appropriate process where there is active addiction, untreated mental illness, or domestic violence. Finally, the third way you can keep yourself or get yourself out of the system is with a negotiated settlement. Settlement is where a majority of the litigated cases end up anyway, so why not just start there? You have to remember that the attorney you hired works for you and not the other way around. You and your spouse could each work with the litigators and make it perfectly clear to them that you don't want to enter the system unless it becomes absolutely necessary, that you want to negotiate your way to a resolution. If you're thinking about getting a divorce, call me. We'll talk it through. I'll help you decide which process option is right for you and your family. Many people stay in unhappy and unhealthy marriages because they're terrified of the financial consequences and the emotional bloodbath that we so often hear about. It really doesn't have to be that way. You owe it to yourself and your family to do your research before you reflexively spend your children's college fund on litigators and you get sucked into the black hole of the system. You can reach me at 516-308-2922 or email me at kmc@adrlawny.com. Check out my website, adrlawny.com. We've all heard the horror stories of other people's divorces. Yours doesn't have to be that way. Call me at 516-308-2922 or email me. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be hearing from Tom Russo. There's no greater expert on divorce than someone who's been there and done that. Welcome back. I'm Kim Shashinsky, and if you're just tuning in, this is Happily Even After. You can find me here every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. on 103.9 FM or online at linewsradio.com. I'm on a mission, people, and that is to keep divorcing couples out of the legal system and to help them come up with solutions to their issues with respect and dignity. If you're considering divorce, give me a call at 516-308-2922. Or shoot me an email at kmc@adrlawny.com. So my guest today is Tom Russo. Tom has graciously offered to share his personal experiences and the lessons that he's learned going through his own divorce. Tom, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for agreeing to share your story.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. This is really personal stuff, and it takes a lot of courage to share it publicly, yes. So I commend you.
Yes, but I appreciate what you're doing. I think it's a great idea for a show, and for any of your listeners out there who are either going through a divorce or thinking about going through a divorce, I certainly sympathize, and I hope that some of the information I give, some of my life experience, helps them along the way. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not another oncoming train.
That's really good to hear, Tom. So let's start at the beginning. When did you go through your divorce?
So it's got to be about 8 years now, and the process, I unfortunately did not have the opportunity to use the private mediation or collaboration approach. I did go through the court system.
You did.
I did go through the court system. Eventually, after a roller coaster ride, we did come to a settlement and agreement, and I learned a lot along the way.
I have to ask, after how long did you come to a settlement?
Well, it took about 4 years. Oh, it took about 4 years, yeah.
And I have to ask this question.
Sure.
Did your settlement end up being pretty much along the lines of what one of the first one or two offers was?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It always happens that way. Always. Yeah. It's amazing to me. So, Tom, you're a personal injury attorney, right?
I'm a practicing attorney for over 20 years now. I limit my practice to plaintiff's personal injury. All I handle are accident cases for those who've been injured, car accidents, trip and falls, premises liability, union workers, construction workers, cops, and firefighters. It's an honor and a pleasure to help them, anyone that's been injured in an accident.
That's great. So you have a different, you come to it with a little bit of a different perspective because you're also an attorney. So based on your personal experience as an attorney and a divorce litigant, what are your thoughts on how the matrimonial part of the court system functions?
Sure. Well, I've spent the last two decades as a plaintiff's personal injury attorney, so I saw what the civil side of it was, the Supreme Court and dealing with accident cases. And I feel that's a great system. I feel that's a great system. I think the courts handle it very well. I think they're set up for it very well. And I love the fact that at the end of the day, no matter what, there's a jury that's going to decide this. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of having a jury. So that's the system that I was used to. Mm-hmm. And then I was involuntarily introduced to the matrimonial system, which is a whole different system.
Whole different world.
I can tell you that there are good aspects to it. I think there are some judges on the bench that care very deeply, especially when it comes to the children and the law clerks, the law secretaries, and the different individuals that are involved in the court system. They really do put the children first.
That's sometimes. My experience. I know a lot of people think of the judicial system as being corrupt, and I don't look at it from that angle. I think that judges are people who are doing the job they're doing because they want to do the right thing. It's the deck is stacked against them.
Yeah.
It's the wrong. The system can't handle the issues in a divorce.
Well, that's it. It's just not set up right. It's an antiquated system. It was set up a long time ago. And some of the things are just ridiculous that are in there. But the worst part of the system that I felt was this hands-off approach that the judges are forced to take. Now, in my realm, in my arena, the civil cases, the judges get involved from the start. They try and settle cases. They can actually listen to what they hear about the case well ahead of time. They try and settle the case. The judges, unfortunately, in the matrimonial part, they can't do that because you have bench trials. Mm-hmm. The judges are the actual ones that are deciding these cases,
right.
which, by the way, just as an aside, folks, that's why you want to vote. Also, because these judges are elected and they ultimately might be the ones that are deciding divorces out there, whether it's yourself or your family or friends. So my experience was the matrimonial part, as much as the judges have the right attitude and all the personnel, there's only so much they can do with it, which it winds up coming down to, instead of the judge having a lot of control over the situation, the lawyers do. And whenever lawyers have the control over the situation, I say that only partially tongue-in-cheek, it could get ugly.
Well, there's a lot involved with the lawyers. You know, they have a job to do, as you know.
That's
and
right.
They have their own personal agendas.
Correct.
They may have their own prior history with one another,
mm-hmm.
that spills over into the relationship on any particular case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, as far as experiences that I've had or experiences that I've had with other people that went through divorces, there are, just like in my arena, there are lawyers who actually want to quickly resolve cases with as little stress and as little litigation as possible, and they appreciate that and they understand that. And then there's other lawyers, unfortunately, where they're not making money unless everyone's fighting. And they do everything possible to prolong the litigation. And unfortunately, the matrimonial system allows that. It almost encourages it. It's fertile ground for it because the judges can't stop it.
Yeah. I think, it's really common. I find that I have this, the old saying, water finds its own level.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
So I find that people who have their personality type look for a lawyer who has the same personality type. Okay.
Yes.
And sometimes that's a calamity. So, if you're angry and bitter and want to fight, you're going to go and hire the pit bull.
Right.
And it's a common misconception for somebody who doesn't want to fight to think that they have to have the pit bull if they're going to do it correctly. And that could be a really expensive proposition.
That's right.
If you don't mind my asking, how much did you spend on your litigated case?
Well, remember too, if you have a pit bull, that pit bull might just bite you.
That's
don't,
right.
Don't forget that. Well, let's just say that I learned rather quickly that depending on the court system and which court in particular you're in, there seems to be a clique among lawyers there that this is what they do. So you really got to do your homework on these things because a lot of times, sometimes both sides are a little too friendly and they know each other a little too well and they understand the game, which is to prolong it and unfortunately get large retainers from their clients. My experience was as soon as I got the lawyers out of the way and I started handling more of it on my own, it started to go away. It was unfortunate what went on during the divorce itself, the ups and downs and the roller coasters. But my experience with it was, I see a flawed system. Mm-hmm. I see a really flawed system.
Yeah.
And that's why I encourage mediation. I do get calls on divorce. I don't handle divorce. But anytime anyone, whether it's personal friends or family members, if they're interested, they have to think about mediation first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say this, you know, I think divorce attorneys get a bad rap. you know, to the extent that it's a small group of us. So, you know, we've worked together over the years. I find that it actually helps resolve cases, okay? Working together with your adversary, knowing that you're each other's personalities, helps a lot sometimes. But anyway, I understand your experience and how you can come to that perception. I think it's a very common perception.
In any profession, you have good cops, you have bad cops.
Right.
In any walk of life, you have it there. And lawyers are no exception.
Yeah. Well, I'm Kim Shishinsky. I'm here with Tom Russo, and after the break, we will return. If you're thinking about getting a divorce, give me a call, 516-308-2922, or email me at kmc@adrlawny.com. We will be right back. Life is full of transitions, some happy and some sad. Ending a marriage is one of the most stressful experiences a person can go through. Hi, I'm attorney Kim Shishinsky, founder of Long Island's alternative divorce resolution firm. At ADR, we believe that divorce is a restructuring of your family. It's not a destruction of it. It should be handled outside of the courtroom through the processes of collaborative divorce, mediation, or negotiated settlements. Not all roads must lead to litigation. Allow me to guide you through the processes of collaborative divorce, mediation, or negotiated settlement. Call 516-308-2922. That's 516-308-2922 or visit adrlawny.com. For over 30 years, I have helped people regain their independence while maintaining their dignity. Call 516-308-2922. 516-308-2922 or visit adrlawny.com. Nowhere is it written that you cannot live happily even after divorce. Welcome back, everyone. I'm divorce attorney Kim Shishinsky, and if you're just tuning in, this is Happily Even After. You can listen to my show every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. on 103.9 FM or online at linewsradio.com. I'm on a mission to keep divorcing couples out of the legal system and to help them come up with solutions to their issues in a way that reduces the financial and the emotional costs of divorce. If you're considering a divorce, give me a call at 516-308-2922. Visit me at the website adrlawny.com or give me an email at kmc@adrlawny.com. Let's have a conversation on how you can get started on the road to your future happiness. So we are here today with Tom Russo, who is graciously sharing with us his personal experience with divorce. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you, Kim.
I will say that I've met my match before the break. I was pressing you a little bit to fess up on how much you spent on your divorce.
Yeah,
and you're very, very, very talented lawyer. You just dodged that question.
That was some cross-examination I endured on the break. I will tell you this much. You gave your listeners some figures on what a mediation or collaborative divorce might cost them. I'll say this much. If you go through the litigation process and it is not exactly civil, you can expect to probably spend about 10 times that.
Yeah.
And that money is gone. That's an entire college for a child. Mm-hmm. That is, if properly invested, an entire home. I mean, you're just talking about tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars just gone. And by the way, right into the pockets of divorce attorneys, mm-hmm. good or bad.
Yes. Well, you know, let me ask you something. Did you find that when you were in the heat of it, you said yours took 4 years, right?
Correct.
Okay. Did you find that when you were in the heat of it, a lot of the money was spent, you'd stumble on certain issues that were usually emotional. Like somebody would set somebody off, emotionally. And then the battle would start over it. It's like you're fighting, but you're not. What you're fighting over is not really what you're fighting over. You've triggered somebody emotionally.
Oh, without a doubt.
Right. Okay.
Oh, without a doubt. Right. Unfortunately, a lot of people feel, and most people, they don't have a lot of experience with the court system. They're used to getting maybe a traffic ticket or something like that.
Right.
And maybe there's a spouse who, especially if they feel scorned or they're never listened to, now all of a sudden it's their moment in the spotlight.
Yes.
And here they are in a courtroom and people are listening to them and it's like, I've got this lawyer. And especially if the other person is paying for the lawyer, that's something else. But once you get to that point, yes, the emotions run high, and I don't begrudge that either, because there has to be some type of emotional outlet. I just don't think the matrimonial part of the divorce courts is the place for it.
Exactly. It's not the place to work it out, and the court can't help you work through it.
Can't.
No. So no. You're kind of, you get pulled down into the muck, and you're working through grief.
Correct.
And you're doing it in a forum that is not intended to handle those issues.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
And that's where these cases snowball, and they can be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
The mistakes that are made, and I've seen made, and it's usually something like one of the spouses is checking the other one's Instagram or their Facebook and finds out they're dating, and now all of a sudden, that all hell breaks loose. Yeah.
And I find that a lot of clients think that when they get their day in court, they're going to be able to tell the judge their story.
Right.
The judge is going to completely get it and give them everything.
Vindicated.
Doesn't work that way.
Nope.
It
not
doesn't
even close.
Work that way. And then there's a person who's really purely in it for the pound of flesh. Like, I'm taking you down. I don't care what it costs me. Yeah. I don't care that I'm going down too.
But terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, that's hard. And you know, you made a comment about how it goes into the pockets of the lawyers. Yeah. I will give you a little perspective from where I sit as a matrimonial attorney. When you represent somebody who's really angry and is working through that grief and wants you to fight for them,
right?
You have to a certain extent indulge what their needs are, because you work for them,
right?
And if
right.
you say to them, "No, you're making a mistake," they're going to fire you,
right?
So
right.
you know, there's different ways to approach the practice of law. I approach the practice of law as I think of myself as a counselor overall.
Yes,
I'm not here. I'm not your puppet. I'm not going to do what you've told me to do. And I know it goes against your best interests.
Right.
And it
right.
goes against your pocketbook. I'm going to counsel you that's, you know, let's think about this. Let's think about what the consequences are going to be of us making this motion. Is it worth it?
Yeah.
And try to bring some, you know, rational thinking into the process. There are a lot of lawyers who just, you want me to make that motion? Sure, no problem.
Yeah.
There's 10 grand.
I
just don't practice that way. So, but I could see where you get, and a lot of people have the attitude that all matrimonial attorneys are like that.
Not all, Kim. As
no.
I said, there's the good, there's the bad, but I think the best remedy for that is exactly what you do, which is let's keep it out of the court system. And you hit the point, which I think is really important for your listeners, is the lack of control that you have, and this perspective, which is just wrong. If you run to a lawyer and expect to go to court, you think you have control. You lose all control as soon as you go to a lawyer and file that summons and complaint.
Yeah.
If you keep it out of the court system, the control is all yours.
Yes, exactly.
So why on earth, and I guess people don't really understand this, but if you go to court, the court is going to decide who gets the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And how often you see the kids. Why on earth would you want any governmental official, and I don't care how good they are, deciding something like that?
It's
insane.
Amazing. It's absolutely
insane.
Amazing.
Why would you want them involved?
I don't know. We are in a generation of helicopter parenting, right?
Right.
You hear that phrase a lot.
Sure.
Okay. So we have people that are just on their kids every single step of the way.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to the issue of who they're going to live with, what activities they're going to engage in, you just say to a judge, somebody, go ahead, you decide this. Really?
Yeah, right,
really?
Right.
You micromanage the color of socks your kid put on this morning.
Terrible.
And you're going to let a stranger decide who's going to raise
it's
them?
Incredible.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't realize what they're getting into. And I think that's the problem.
Absolutely right.
Once you're there, yeah. you're there. It's not like you can all of a sudden say, okay, this was a mistake. Let me get out of here.
You're absolutely right.
No, now you're stuck in the system. Now you've got court orders. And here's another thing that I want people to understand, too, is once you're in that court system and a judge is assigned to your case, there is a chance you go to jail. And I don't know if your listeners understand that, but I understand it because I had friends go to jail because they missed some payments on child support or maintenance. Once you're in that court system, you can be handcuffed. You've never had any problems with the judicial system before. You speak out of turn or you do the wrong thing, you could have the cuffs slapped on you and you could be hauled off to jail. Now, that is horrible, but
yeah,
that could happen.
It can, absolutely. If a court order is not followed and someone doesn't pay their child support or their spouse's support or do something, the other side can make a motion for contempt and you absolutely can spend a little time in jail.
Yeah, not fun.
No, not fun at all.
No, I'm not speaking from personal experience on that one, by the way.
I was just going to ask.
Full disclosure, but I have had friends. And let's not forget, too, that seeing the children, too. I had a friend who had a spouse who, in my opinion, wrongly accused him of something. There was an order of protection. That's divorce 101. Get the order of protection against the other spouse. Oh, he was going to hit me, he harassed me, yada, yada. Now there's a court order. Now, all of a sudden, the spouse can't step foot in the house and can't see their kids. And now there's supervised visitation. And it's horrible. Go, if you really want to see a broken down system, go to Central Islip, go down to the family court, and go look at the line of the parents who are waiting in line to see their kids for 45 minutes in a supervised room. It is absolutely horrible. Why would you want to go through that?
I know, I know. And it just, you can find yourself there. You know, it makes your head spin.
Yeah.
You go to bed one day as a certain type of person and you've got your life. And then you wake up and everybody else is in charge of the decisions.
Crazy.
And you're an you're irrelevant to your own life.
That's right. That's right. I think the system, and listen, any of your listeners that are going through this, I sympathize with you. It will get better. I can tell you when you come out of it, you're either going to be bitter or you're going to be better. The way you become better at it is you have to accept whatever system. And if you're fortunate enough to do mediation, wonderful. If you're not, then you just got to go through the process. It is a process and you will get through it. And the only thing you can do is stay positive. You know, don't go around talking about your divorce to everybody.
That is
terrible.
Like number one advice.
Yeah.
Keep it private. Yeah. Find a therapist.
Yeah.
Find a family member or one close friend. Do not. I'm always amazed when people are broadcasting their private lives on Facebook.
Oh, are constantly.
You crazy. Yeah.
You become your divorce.
You become your divorce. Exactly.
You shouldn't define yourself that way. You're going through a process.
Right.
And I was told something at the very beginning. A good friend of mine said, you've got two paths ahead of you. Now, you're going to go through this no matter what. And he said, you could spend your time now with your so-called newfound freedom, go out to the bars and drink and do all horrible things, go date around. And it's like, and you screw up everything. You'll screw up your relationship with your children, work, everything else. You just make it worse. Or now you can actually get yourself involved in something positive and get addicted to that, so to speak.
Yeah.
And for me, it was some soul searching. All right. I invite your listeners. This is the time to go back to church. Mm-hmm. Start there. This is the time. Go back to the gym. Mm-hmm. All right. Stop going on Facebook, Instagram, and complaining to everybody about the divorce. First of all, they don't want to hear it. After a few times, they don't want to hear it anymore.
Exactly.
After a while, it gets old, and it's like, get over it. So you got to just stay positive. And if you do stay positive, you're going to attract the right people. And sooner or later, if you actually choose to date again, you have to learn from your past mistakes, too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You just made a comment about how people don't want to hear it.
That's
very true. People really don't want to hear it. But I find that, you know, clients get so upset when they find out that their spouse has said something or disparaged them in some way in their community. And they feel the need to strike back, to protect themselves, to defend themselves, to deny it. I'm like, don't.
Right.
Say nothing. When you say nothing and you don't engage, it's very boring to fight with yourself.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
The bully's going to stop because you're not giving him or her any reaction that they're hungry for.
Right, absolutely.
Say nothing. And plus, people don't want to hear you complain.
Yeah.
Just, you know, live your life, be who you are, and don't, like you said, you're not your divorce.
You're not your divorce. It's very easy for us to say.
It is.
You know, I've been through it.
And so
There was very rough times, of course. Mm-hmm. But once you get past it, and I was told, oh, don't worry, it gets better. It takes a long time.
And it does.
It takes a lot of healing. Mm-hmm. And that is something. And you learn who your true friends are, too. It's
Absolutely.
Very interesting that mm-hmm. when you get separated, you're going to lose a lot of your so-called friends. And that's fine.
You are. Yeah.
It's like, trimming off all the dead spots in your life.
Yeah.
And you have to think, you can think of it any way you want. It can be either the end of your life or your next chapter.
The beginning.
Yeah.
It really is an amazing opportunity to reinvent yourself.
Absolutely.
Like, it's a giant do-over in life.
Absolutely.
How many times do we get that opportunity?
You don't. I'm not encouraging divorce, by the way.
No, of course not. Neither am I. I'm just saying there are some positive aspects to a really terrible life event.
Absolutely. And it's easy to say, but if you're going through it or you're separating, if you could somehow keep the emotions down as much as possible and think it through, especially if there's children involved.
Absolutely.
Especially if there's...
Do it
for the kids.
Yeah.
Don't fight in front of the kids. Don't get arrested in front of the kids. Don't have your spouse arrested in front of the kids.
It's terrible.
How could you do that?
It's terrible.
It's so horrible.
You have to. You have to love your children more than you hate your spouse.
Yeah.
And that's, that takes maturity. It takes self-discipline.
Yeah.
it's a hard thing to do. But you have to love your children and want what's best for them more than you want to hurt your spouse.
Right.
Or get, revenge for the hurt that has been inflicted
and
on
stay
you.
Stay away from those negative people that are like, this is your chance.
Yes.
Get them. Now you got them. Stay away. No, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that. Very easy to say, very hard to do that in practice. And understandable. The emotions run high. You have to have an outlet. The court system is not the outlet. You're going to be terribly disappointed. And if you're the one footing the bill for it, you're really going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
That's not the outlet.
No, it's really not. You know, it's not the end of the world.
No.
It's an event. It's a life event that you go through, not a particularly good one, but you come through the other side, and it's up to you to choose who you are, who you show up as in that moment.
That's right.
Who do you want to be going forward? And it's also a great opportunity to model for your kids.
Absolutely.
I mean,
you're right.
Talk about the lessons to be learned there. Conflict resolution, change,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Grief, work. How do you work through grief?
Sure.
There's an opportunity to set some really wonderful examples for your children.
If you can keep your head,
yes.
If you can keep cool and keep the emotions down, if mm-hmm. you can stay away from negative people, stay off of Facebook, Instagram. No one wants to know about your divorce. No one wants to hear it.
Don't take legal advice from your hairdresser or the bartender or your friend.
Good idea.
Yeah, people think, I, if I had a dime for every time I hear this, I'd be very rich and not practicing divorce law anymore.
Right.
People are always saying, well, my neighbor got X.
Right.
Okay. That means nothing.
Yep. Every case is different. Every situation is different.
Every case is different.
Yeah.
And
by the way, they didn't get X. The neighbor was bragging and probably got a lot worse than that and doesn't want to admit to you how much money they spent
probably.
On that divorce, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard when, lay people are trying to translate what's being told to them by their friends and family and their hairdresser and whatnot, the bartender.
Right.
And you have to translate for them and say that's you don't know have all the facts. That's in a silo. We don't know what all the facts are, and just because that person experienced that doesn't mean that that's going to happen in your case.
That's right.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So.
This process that you go through too, it's either going to bring out the best in you or the worst in you.
Absolutely.
And it's just natural. And any person has a good side and a bad side.
Of course.
And under extreme circumstances of what they're going through, you really can bring out the very worst in people.
Absolutely.
And it's understandable. You have to decide whether you want that to happen or not. Does this, by the way, if you allow the worst of you to come out, that means the other person controls you, right?
Right.
And the time is to sever that bond.
Yes.
If you really feel that you never want to be controlled again, then why are you doing it?
Exactly.
Why are you letting them get to you? Why are you engaging with them? Sever the ties, for the especially for your own mental health and for the kids.
It's patterns of behavior. Every marriage has patterns.
That's right.
Every relationship has a pattern of behavior. And unless you're able to objectively look at that and stand back and say, whoa, wait a minute, you're going for that button again.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you say, no. No.
It's not happening anymore. I'm not going to allow you to control my life anymore. Yeah. Absolutely. That's when you grow and you move on. And you don't want to bring that into your next relationship if you're going to have a next relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to, you know, I'm sure you know this. It's the same five stages of grief as when someone dies. We go through those five stages.
Without a doubt.
Right. And very often, you know, people will do the work on the outside. They'll end the marriage. They'll sell their house. They'll get a new job. All the outward stuff. Lose the weight. Whatever.
Yeah.
But they don't do the inside work.
Right.
And then they jump into another relationship. And because they haven't done that inside work and gone through all the stages of grief in a healthy way, they're doomed to just repeat the same.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're bringing your old garbage into the new home, right?
Yeah.
Body, mind, heart, soul. That's how I did it.
Absolutely.
Body, mind, heart, soul. Mm-hmm. So yes, body, stay healthy. Mind, stop watching stupid TV programs. Watch something good for you.
Yeah.
Heart and soul. Mm-hmm. Get back to church.
Yeah.
Reconnect with family members and work through it. And if you need therapy, go get therapy.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, you've like shared so much great advice, and it's good to hear it from somebody who's been through the muck.
Been through it. I'm a fellow traveler.
And you came out with such a positive attitude, and you're proof that life goes on and happiness happens again.
Happiness happens again. I learned a long time that the only way to get through it was with a positive attitude.
Yes.
And for all your listeners out there, they're going to get through it too. They're going to get through it too. If they keep their heads, if they keep cool, if they do the right thing, and don't let anybody control you.
Yes, that's so important. Well, thanks for sharing such personal information.
You're welcome, of course.
Like I said before, that takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, it's emotional, too.
It is, And another thing, you're bringing up all that stuff that you don't want to think about anymore.
I'm going to forget about it now.
Well, have a great night. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to Happily Even After. I'm divorce attorney Kim Shishinsky. If you're thinking that it may be time to end your marriage and begin creating the new life that awaits you, let's talk about how to get you started so that you too can live happily even after. Call me at 516-308-2922. Visit the website at adrlawny.com. Everyone have a great night, and please stay safe and healthy.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.